batteries are recharged and we're ready to get going again as another weekend looms into view. Welcome to Clan Chat, the official Glasgow Clan podcast, as we bring you the news and interviews from around the club. I'm Craig Anderson, and after 6 games in 8 days, the Clan players took a well-earned rest from their on-ice exploits. Sadly for me, there's no rest for the wicked, and I spoke to the people you want to hear from. This week, we have a king and 2 stars, in no particular order. Dundee Stars TV webcast commentary duo Stephen Swan and Dave Sweeten join me to look ahead to Saturday's game in Dundee, and the man who is the king, Matthew Hua, talks to us about his great form so far and reveals what working with Malcolm Cameron is really like. So much to do in so little time. This is Clan Chat.
My name is Jerry McLaughlin and you're listening to the Clan Chat podcast.
We haven't done this for a while, so I've decided to bring back the Clan Conundrum, where I set you a little trivia question to ponder for the duration of the show before I reveal the answer. Jordan McLaughlin made his first appearance of the season in net at the tail end of Sunday's 6-0 loss to the Belfast Giants. Now, during the 1920 season, Jordan played in 10 games for the Clan, but which team did he come up against the most? That's in 10 games for the Clan in season 2019-20. Which team did Jordan McLaughlin face the most? I'll give you the answer at the end of the show. Well, it was a busy weekend for the Clan as they began on Friday night with a meeting against Nottingham Panthers, a team they'd beaten 3-2 2 weeks ago before at the Motorpoint Arena. Now, they were in Glasgow and Tim Wallace, the Panthers coach, was keen to get his team those points back. It was a tight affair for half the game, where the sides both remained goalless until the 35th minute, when this happened.
One-on-one! That's an exquisite finish from Matthew Roy! The King strikes again!
The joy was to be short-lived as Panthers struck twice to turn the game around before the end of the second period, as Robbie Belangeron and Mathieu Toussignon scored to put Nottingham 2-1 ahead. Clan remained in the game until 54 minutes when Jeremy Welsh made it 3-1 before the job was done with an empty net finish from Simon Suranta. On to Saturday, and it was off to Coventry Blaze for a big away test at the Sky Dome against a team that had blown hot and cold at times this season. Thankfully, they blew cold in this instance as Clan ran out 5-2 winners to take the points in a game where coach Malcolm Cameron was happy with the reaction. Clan broke the deadlock first.
There's the Glasgow Clan missing a big opportunity. They go back up the other end again, though. A loose puck, and it bubbles over CJ Martin in. Campbell unable to score earlier in the shift with a golden opportunity, and then a little bit of puck luck and the Glasgow Clan are 1-ups.
This was quickly cancelled out by Ryan Penny for the home team before Cody Saul restored the lead with a second. Then something special soon followed.
With no call assessed, Ferrara through to the weak side, Clan back to full strength. Clements, a one-timer, Starrett makes the save and the rebound is pushed clear into the clutches of Ferguson. In on goal, he shoots, he scores! Harry Ferguson
got his first goal for the Clan with an exquisite finish, and it wasn't done there. Sure, Coventry closed the gap to 3-2 from Luke Ferrara not long after, but early in the second, Brock Boekeboom finished for his first goal of the season. The night was to be rounded off with this from Guillaume Gauthier.
Puck comes out for Gauthier, he shoots, short side, saved by Mott, and dunked in on the rebound.
Gauthier ensured the points were in the bag, completing a great night's work with the only blemish, an injury to Colin Campbell, which kept him out of Sunday's home game with the Belfast Giants. Let's get it over with then. Sunday saw Belfast Giants come to town, and after Saturday's result, the confidence was high as the Premier Sports TV cameras were in the house. Sadly, it wasn't to be, as a tired Clan team were soundly beaten by an energetic and high-tempo Giants team surging to a 6-0 win. The Clan simply had nothing left to give as 6 games in 8 days caught up with them. The goals came from Lewis Hook, Slater Doggett, Jordan Boucher, David Goodwin, Griffin Reinhardt and Scott Conway. And Belfast, you have to say, were deserving of their victory. Head coach Malcolm Cameron conceded the significant role fatigue played in this game, but offered words of praise for his players for their overall effort.
Well, I'm not disappointed in our effort. I mean, we just had nothing left in the tank. We played 50% of our year's games in 1 week. You know, when you throw in the travel there yesterday, we've been playing our top 4 defensemen have averaged probably 26 minutes a night per guy. So that's a lot of time. We just didn't have any gas left in the tank. We're still 6 weeks behind game shape wise of a lot of these teams. So I don't think anybody's played 4 games in 6 days in the league this year, but we just did. So We went 500. Did we want to go better? For sure we did. Did we want to, you know, play, get better results at home? For sure. But I know the results at home will come. Winning on the road is tough, and we've shown that we can do that. So that's the real positive thing. You know, tonight, it just seemed like anything that could have went right for them did. You know, they were a little hungrier on the pucks. And that's just reaction time due to, you know, gas, not having any gas in the tank. Normally, you know, teams would never get to those rebounds in front of our net. Normally, we've done a great job all year of clogging those up. So I'm not going to be too hard on the guys, because I thought, you know, usually you could see if a team's quit or they're not showing any kind of resolve, if they're not blocking shots and they're waving at pucks. We played physical and blocked shots right up to the last second of the game. So, you know, we showed a lot of character, or else it could have been, you know, an even uglier score. 9-2 the power plays. I mean, that's very, very disappointing. I'll leave it at that. I think our fans could probably read into what I'm saying there. I've coached a lot of games, you know, over 2,000 games. I've never seen a discrepancy of 9-2 ever in a game. And I think one of our two is by about 20 seconds. That's all we got out of it. So that doesn't help either when you're playing a third of the game, you know, down a man after playing as many games as we've had. So we're going to take a couple days off, lick our wounds, and get ready for next weekend.
So you can return to some level of normality this week. The next game isn't for 6 days. That rest is going to be vitally important.
Yeah, it is. I mean, we got some guys that are really banged up here, you know, and that'll do, you know, playing this amount of games in a week will do that to your body. So some guy, and they, you know, just mentally, they need to get away from the rink here for a couple of days too.
My name is Mikko Vainonen, and you're listening to the Clan Chat podcast.
On to our interviews now, and as Clan get ready to take the relatively shorter road to Dundee, they take on Omar Pasha's side this Saturday. As ever, I like to find out what's happening on the other side of things, so I enlisted two popular voices of Dundee Stars, their commentary team on the webcast coverage, Dave Sweeten and Stephen Swan, to tell us what Clan can expect. Dave and Stephen always entertain whenever they're on the mic, and expect nothing less on Saturday if you tune into the webcast. Anyway, as I speak to them, it's just after Wednesday's Challenge Cup quarter-final win with Cardiff Devils, where they won 4-2, and I wanted to know what's caused the turnaround in form, where they've picked up some really good results recently.
Well, for me, pretty simple, really. Returning bodies. There's been quite a wee stretch there where we were missing almost a full line of players. And it's no coincidence, of course, that as soon as some of them start to come back, start to perform better and win games, really. Simple as that.
And who stood out for you, Stephen, in terms of those bodies that we've seen coming back? I see one or two names. I just want to see if we sync up in that regard.
Well, of course, they're all hugely important, but one of the guys for me, Spencer Borowicz, has been huge. I think he's one of those players that maybe some of the fans didn't notice was so important at the start of the year. And then obviously when he got injured and came back, they've noticed that. So he's huge. But to be honest, Craig, anybody that's a D-man will take back any day. You know, at one point we were playing with four defencemen, three defencemen. I thought we were going to go down to two at one point. It's crazy the way things were. So I would just say that, to be honest, at a club like Dundee or any team in the Elite League, outside those big massive clubs, when you lose a couple of players, you know what I mean, it's huge to get any of them back.
I noticed that the live game that was on Premier Sports, the Belfast game, and you know, we've just seen that with the Clan against Belfast. What a team. I mean, they'll punish you. You've got body short, as you've alluded to. And Dave, back to you on this one. I mean, Belfast are ruthless, but a team like Dundee, they're limited to what they can do. We've seen that at times.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Dundee always will struggle against the big arena teams. That's just a fact of life. But we've beaten them so many times over the seasons, and Belfast is no exception of that. And we've certainly won a few times in Belfast as well, which is just a great achievement, really. And it just shows that, you know, any team can beat any team in this league at any point. And this season looks to be no different at all. Brilliant. Gotta love it.
Take us back to COVID. How did it affect Dundee Stars? I spoke to Omar a couple of times throughout that period. I know he was quite frustrated, but are you able to give an insight you know, from a more or less a fan's perspective about the club and any fears there may have been at the time?
I mean, Steve would probably be better to answer that one because he did a lot of work. He did a lot of work over that period.
I don't think there was there was any fear at any point. The club is very stable. I suppose for us, from minute one, even before things started to become uncertain, for me personally, I was thinking, how are we keeping this this club going on a COVID basis? If things do close down, how are we doing it? And when it happened, it was really, really great to have Omar Pasha there. Because he's always open to ideas. And I don't know many coaches that would commit to doing a live show, not just a pre-recorded show, every Friday night at 7 o'clock, which pretty much takes up a weekend and a week of prep. We started off, Craig, to be honest, that show, to keep the fans connected to the club, to keep them connected to Omar, to all the players. And as you say, it was an up and down situation. At one point, we were thinking we were having that season starting in September. So we're pushing forward for that. And then that started to get a bit doubtful. But I think one of the main things that was good was Omar, myself, anybody at the club was open and honest with the fans. As things started to get a bit doubtful to that, we were honest with fans saying, look, this might not happen at the minute. And I think people felt like their club was still there every Friday night. And they could be part of that all week building up to that. So I think there was during that period, it didn't affect, I believe, the fans in any way. I think they were reassured that we were still here, we weren't going anywhere. And I think that the hard work of dedicating that many Friday nights and midweeks to prep that stuff, as you know yourself, Craig, getting guests pulling out, having to reach out to people who... shall we say, you haven't spoke to for 2-3 years, maybe 4 years, mm-hmm. and asking them to come on is quite a challenge. But I think there was no fear from any fans. There was certainly no fear from us. It was just, when are we going to get back on the wheel again? I suppose the one special thing out of it was we were able to reconnect with those individuals that had played for the club previously, sit and spend some time with them, like Justin Farina and things like that, coming out and doing various bits of work for us. Even we could even go as far as when we did a Christmas special, Craig, and Matt Carter, you know, who now plays at Fife, coming out doing stuff for us, clips in their cars, Sean Boutin, just guys that people know around the league. And I think what was special was, I maybe I'm overselling it a bit, but I think that we didn't just keep the security of the Dundee Stars going over that period with that show. I think there was a lot of other Elite League fans that appreciated that as well and joined in. And it was kind of like a little group and a Friday. I do miss it, but I don't in some ways, because giving up Friday night every week is quite hard.
I never got my invite on the show, but we'll know not too much. But Omar, wow. I mean, I saw a few of the shows and it was great stuff. I was more impressed at Omar, because Omar's always worried about messing up, and I don't think he messed up too much, which was impressive. He's clearly improved on that front.
Live, he's fine, Craig, right? So live, because he can't do anything about it. So see that there's various times we record interviews, and I reckon we've done some of them maybe 10 to 12 times before, because what happens is he makes one mess up, I then start making 4 mess ups, and we both laugh, and we can't get over it. And That is a problem. The only one thing I'm going to call him out on, though, is, and Wayne from Dundee Stars TV, this infuriates him. And you would understand this, Craig. So when you do an interview, you tell him, could you wait 3 or 4 seconds at the end, maybe 5, without moving, because it helps to cut the footage. Every time Omar will say thanks, walk straight forward and hand you a microphone. So it looks like he's waiting to eat the camera or something. So that's a bit of, you know what? Yeah, I'm sorry we never got around to getting you on. And if we do, we'll get you on at some point. You've opened the can of worms, Craig. You'll be on at some point.
See, now you've said it's going to be out there. It's going to be out there. There we go.
Yes.
So this Saturday, it's Dundee against the Clan, which is why, obviously, we've got you guys on. The rivalry between the clubs is there. Fife are in the mix as well when it comes to rivalry. Which is the bigger rivalry for Dundee Stars? Is it Fife, or do you see Clan as more of a rival these days? What can you tell us? We'll have Dave. We've not heard him in a while. Come on, Dave.
Okay. yeah, that's an interesting one for me, really. Especially this season, because we've played Fife a heap times already, but of course we've not seen Glasgow yet, because obviously the later start and stuff. So at the moment, I don't really feel there's a rivalry, but you can guarantee as soon as that puck drops on Saturday, it'll be rivalry time. I always love when we stand at the back of the crowd doing the webcast, we're right behind the away fans usually, and you can really feel the atmosphere, especially when the bigger crowds like Clan and Flyers, and sometimes when the Nottingham Panthers or Cardiff Devils bring up a triple header crowd, the atmosphere's amazing, and it sounds really good on the webcast because your crowd is right on top of the crowd. And the Clan fans are always loud, always. Drums, songs, chant, the works, it's just awesome. I think it's interesting. I don't really know the answer to that. I think we'll just go 50-50 and call it down the middle. It's a good Scottish rivalry. We'll go with that. Sitting on the fence.
I did wonder for those listening why you're sitting in your garden. You're sitting on the fence. He's not really. He's in his, I don't know, study or something. That looks fancy. I like your lights. But, you know, the Clan Dundee thing, you know, it's going to be the first time this year. When you think back to before lockdown, that was Clan's last game. The game you'll remember, Dundee were 3-0 up. I think Zach Fitzgerald, who was the coach, had a meltdown on the bench. What do you remember about that game?
I don't remember much, to be honest.
No.
That's probably quite bad. I mean, that's a long time ago now, right?
Yeah.
Jeez.
That was the thing, because it was when Zach lost his head on the bench, I think the poor form and everything had culminated in this explosion of rage, if you want to call it that. And Clan went on and won 4-3 in overtime. Stephen's nodding his shaking his head. I don't think you remember it too much either, do you?
I don't remember the game, Craig. I remember Zach that season was very prominent. I still get fans coming up to me about his interview at the start of that season, where he gave me one word answers.
Oh yeah.
I think it was you remember that one?
Yeah, I remember that one.
And to all credit to Zach, because people don't realise this, he actually apologised to me in person. And via Twitter about that right away. So total respect for the guy. But I kind of vividly remember the game, Craig. I vividly remember it. But I've got to say something to you. I know you have asked me a question. I'm going to veto back to Dave's question you asked him. He says Fife or Glasgow, right?
Go on then.
So, right, okay, Fife, absolute respect for Fife. I love a night in Fife. I think it's a great arena. Just something about it. The thing is, the Glasgow Clan fans are irreplaceable on webcast, okay, a live streaming. I did not know there was a place called Houston in Renfrewshire, for example. I thought that someone was buzzing from Texas. I think that's Shona from memory. Scuba Steve trying to like pick me up with announcements and pick-me-ups every time we play you guys. There's conversations about Christmas trees, Costco, all sorts of stuff, Craig. And that's for me, that's what I love about it on a Glasgow Clan stream. All right. So as well as watching a great game of hockey on Saturday night, look forward to joining us, if you are, for the live stream, Glasgow fans, where we'll talk about Christmas trees, we'll talk about Dave sitting on the fence, because I'm sure Dave will have a different answer when he comes off air. And that's if both of them make it on time for the stream, because sometimes that happens as well.
Yeah. But listen,
Craig, to answer your question, Glasgow 100% for streams are one of the best fan bases. They're up there with Cardiff Devils for me in terms of the fan bases for the live stream. In terms of that game, I don't remember.
Fair enough. But as I speak to you guys, you're talking to me on the back of the game on Wednesday, the Challenge Cup game against Cardiff. That seemed to get a bit tasty at some point as well. But a win against Cardiff is always a great one. So the mood around the team, we touched upon the recent turnaround in form as well. It's got to be much higher than it's probably ever been at this point this season.
Yeah, I mean, that was just a really good game for the Stars. I mean, all around. We're still short-benched that game as well. But it just seemed like, you know, it started to click. So, you know, the quick moving up the ice, passes together, good finishing, been good finishing the last few games, I think, as well. Really a some just great goals. The Nottingham game in particular, really awesome goals in that one. And it's just the guy starting to click, I think, because it's not really been allowed to with it being shot so much. But yeah, that game against Cardiff was just excellent. And to be honest, I mean, I suppose I'm biased, but I think a two-goal lead is understated for the Stars because it really could have been more. They were so lucky with the second goal they got. It was a total fluke. So at this point, I'm thinking, two goals down on Cardiff, is it enough? Maybe not. I don't know. Let's hope it is. But yeah, it's always difficult for sure. But yeah, that was a really good game all round.
And a semi-final in a Challenge Cup, putting out a team like Cardiff, Clan done it, as I recall, three years ago, as well. It's quite something to put a team like that out. So it'd be huge, huge certainly for Dundee. So the game on Saturday then, let's look into that. How do you see the Clan? I'm making the assumption you've not seen too much of them, or what you have seen has been very little. How do you see this game going on Saturday? Stephen, you go first.
Well, I've seen a few games of the Clan. I'm quite impressed. I think there's some in there that's going to really tick on as the season goes on. It's difficult for the Clan as well, starting later than everybody else. But I think it's going to be a tough game for Glasgow. If they think they're coming, looking at the Stars, maybe league points and tallies, and just basing it on that, you would have a... you're going to end up with kind of like the wrong opinion. The Stars will make a difficult game on Saturday night for the Clan, and I think it's going to go close. I say this to Dave all the time. There's no bad Glasgow games in the DIA. There's no bad Belfast games and no bad Cardiff games. Those three teams, when they come to the Dundee Ice Arena, it is always action-packed, and you're always close. It's always interesting, you know?
What about you, Dave?
I think it's going to definitely be a good game for sure. I think the Stars are in good form, and the Clan are starting to obviously get the wheels going as well. And then, you know, you've got the old favourite, number 15, you know, just banging in goals. You've just got to watch out for him all the time. Majorois, of course. he's just a top player. So, you know, they run the game through him. They're a test for anyone, really. And then I was looking around the roster, and there are some quite tasty new guys to the league as well. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing that play out on the ice for sure.
It's funny you mentioned Mathieu Roy. I just want to look at you and your beard, Dave, and you've clearly been growing it for quite some time. Have you ever thought if you dye it sort of black, you could sort of, you know, you could be like his body double?
Yeah, I can. I don't know about the body right enough, but maybe the beard.
Good stuff.
A bit flabby.
Right, guys, just before we finish up, plug the webcast. Let's get the Clan fans in on this. As you said, Stephen, that they're going to watch, they're going to interact with you guys. So let's sell it. What have you got for us?
So, look, we've not just got treats for the people watching the stream. We'll have treats for the people coming live to the game. I don't know, Craig, if you've heard about our Fredo challenge we had the other week.
No.
Are you aware of that?
No.
Right, just before we plug the webcast. So we like to reward the away fans that turn up in the arena as well. We might dish out a code on the live stream, okay? A password code. And if you tell one of the travelling fans to come up and knock on the white door of our new box that we've got that we're commentating, they might get a gift. They might get a treat like the Nottingham fans did, which was a Fredo. And we dished out about 50 of them that night. So listen, there might be stuff like that. But I'm looking forward to seeing the folks from Houston in Renfrewshire, Scuba Steve tricking me, and the rest of the fans joining us, because it'll be really good. Don't miss out if you aren't coming through to Dundee. I would suggest you come through to the game because it'll be better being there. But if not, join us on the live stream on Saturday night, 7 p.m. And you'll find the details of that on Dundee Stars website and all their social medias. But yeah, don't miss it, because it's always a party. It's not a hockey game, Craig, on Dundee Stars Live. It's a party. It's a Saturday night party this week as well.
I can definitely vouch for that. Guys, thanks very much. Great to have you on Clan Chat this week. And yeah, let's hope for a good game on Saturday. Thanks, guys.
Hi, Clan fans. I'm Matt Hayward, and this is Clan Chat.
Dave Sweeten and Stephen Swan of Dundee Stars TV helping to look to Saturday's game at Dundee Ice Arena. There have been many positives about the Clan's campaign so far, and one of which has been the early season form of Mathieu Roy, Clan's number 15 with 6 goals and 6 assists in 9 games so far to his name. Nicknamed the King from his time at Sheffield Steelers, Roy was also voted the Premier Sports Elite League Player of the Month for November. He's enjoying being back at Clan after COVID curtailed his first season here in 2019-20, and working under Malcolm Cameron again, he's having a great time on the ice. I caught up with him earlier this week and asked how he feels it's all coming together so far.
Feel pretty good, actually, for as a team, especially with the late start we had there. We're looking good. We're looking like a strong team, and everyone. It's a big thing too when all the guys get along, and we got a nice dress room right now. And so we want to keep going forward and winning more games.
And it's been impressive as well. Some of the performances you guys have put in, considering you're some weeks behind the other teams as well, that's got to be pleasing.
Yeah, no, it is. Especially surprised me, it's all the points we went away in Manchester and all those Coventry. Those are not easy places to win. So you can see that the team is winning to play in any big, small ice and all that. So it's really pleased to see.
And, of course, you've had a great start to the season. 6 points and 6 assists so far. That first goal against Belfast in the very first game, what did that do for the confidence?
Scoring your first goal the first game always helps for sure, especially on a breakaway. I know it's one of my weaknesses, and it's working this year, so for sure it helps the confidence a little bit.
And of course, you know, you've played in this league for a number of years as well. There's always that thing about coming back and getting that monkey off your back, isn't there, if you go a few games without scoring?
Yeah, no, of course, like especially with a full year off and coming back, and I came here in good shape, and we had a good training camp, even though if it's not that long. And it's good to score the first, like you said, a monkey off your back the first game. But it's real good.
Taking you back to that year you took off when you retired and then you unretired, how much has that done for you physically as a player? Has it helped in some way?
Yeah, it helped more mentally than, both actually physically too. But there's a lot of rumor that my wrist was done by the Sheffield, but my wrists were fine. I was just too tired to be there, and it was like time for me to retire. Now I had a good job there and back home, and I took the job, and I sat for a year, and my daughter came, and I always wanted to have my child to see me play, and I had the chance to do it, and I'm happy I did.
Good. And I know you love it here in the UK, of course, that the fact you've spent so much time here reflects that, but how good does it feel to be back when you look back and everything that's happened, and I include the pandemic in that as well?
No, it's good. It's for sure it's a little different this year with everything, but we were, like, especially us, for us, we're in Florida, and Florida pretty much anything goes there. But no, it's real fun. We still have those Christmas market around. The restaurants are still open, so it's good to be back. You know, we really like it here.
Good. Now, the season so far, how do you feel that the games have gone? Been a bit up and down in certain stages in one game to another, but how do you feel that it's all gone collectively?
No, like you said, like we lost some big games at home. That I think that's one thing we need to work on. I know the schedule is not easy for us, but we can't let that just going through the motion, you know. But I think we got a good stretch coming up now, and I think guys are really excited for the next stretch coming up.
I mean, that run of games that you guys had, it was basically 6 games in 8 days, broken up with 3-4 and then 3-3. I mean, that's a tough collection of games to get through. I mean, you could see you guys were done by the end of it in the Belfast game.
Yeah, especially for the Belfast game, you don't want to take it for an excuse, but we came back at like 4 o'clock in the morning, the morning of, and pretty sure Belfast was sleeping right next door, so it's hard, but it's part of the game. It's part of the UK hockey league, you know. So, but 3-on-3, 4-5 or 6, like you said, it's not easy, but it's over now, and we're looking forward.
Now the team's come together, and we've seen some good things in this group. I want to talk about the line with you, Colton Yellowhorn and Dyson Stevenson in particular. That's been quite productive with points and things. Do you feel there's a real chemistry building between you guys?
Yeah, no, I really, really like our line for sure. Both of those guys bring something different to the table. I bring something else to the table. I'm not going to lie to you. I feel like a bit like my first few years in Sheffield with Colton Fretter and Michael Forney and all that. So we have a good thing going on, and we're hoping to keep that thing going all year.
How do you break that down? What is it you all bring collectively that makes it work so well?
Well, me and Dyson, we like to play. Like he likes to drive the net. He likes to do the kind of the dirty work like I do. And you got Colton Yellowhorn. You can look at every stats he did before. He loves the puck, and no one's gonna take the puck away from him. So I like to find a hole for him to give it to me. You know, and he's a goal scorer too. So he's a well-around player. So it's really good to have.
Is it almost getting like a telepathic kind of communication that the three of you have when you're on the line together?
Yeah, well, that's what you want to, you know. You want the other guys to know where you're gonna go ahead, you know. I think it's starting to show that me and Colton and Dice, we kind of know where everyone's going on the ice, and that's a massive positive thing for us.
Good. So, I'll ask you about the other aspect of your job. You're a player, but you're also the assistant coach as well.
Yeah.
So, take us through some of what you do as Malcolm's assistant.
Well, for now, I'm probably gonna get more on the video, doing it from video maybe for the guys, and when the schedule's not gonna be that crazy, I'll be able to maybe take the younger guy on the ice to do some skating. But for now, I'm just there to have Malcolm going through all the games and all things like that, and I'm an open book too for the guys if they need help or anything. I just try to put my two cents in the game.
And how do you enjoy working alongside Malcolm? He's a big character, you know that obviously more than a lot of people. What's it like to work alongside him in that capacity?
No, I really like it, Malcolm. Me and Malcolm, I think he took me to Florida my first year in Florida, and since then we've been talking all those years. He tried to get me in Wichita, but I was in Sheffield, so it's good to be back with him. I think we have the same mentality in hockey. We like to win, so it's a good thing.
You mentioned that time in Florida between 2008 and 2010 is the information I've got. Has he mellowed in that time as he's got older, or does he get worse?
No. I'm older for sure. He's the same. He looks the same, and no, he still have the same mentality. He just work hard. He's at the ring all day, and he do video. He'll do everything for the guy. So it's real good to have him here. I think it's a real good thing to have a guy like him in Glasgow.
And the thing that gets me as someone who's only really known him in the last few weeks is enthusiasm's really infectious as well. How much does that rub off on the guys in the locker room?
Well, it's massive. You know, everyone needs to be happy. So seeing a guy like Malcolm that wants to come in and he's bringing a good system. You know, you can see he's involved in everything. And especially with the vibe of the team now, the good crowd and all that. So it's real good. Guys are really excited every game we come and play.
Now, I'm going to talk to you about your sort of a personal side of your life. Your first love's your family.
Yeah.
But how do we look around your Instagram account? I see motorbikes is a big passion of yours as well. Tell us a bit about that and how you get into that.
Yeah, no, that's one of my other passions. I like to ride my Harley, and that's what I did when I retired for a year. I was a salesman for Harley. I really liked it, but where I'm from, it's the winter are pretty cold, so it was kind of boring. And I was sitting down and looking at the scores, and I was like, I should go back. I still got it, so I think that's pretty much what happened. But during the summertime, especially now we're in Florida, and I like to ride my bike over there for sure.
Excellent. You just take it all over, or did you stick to certain places?
Right now my bike is in Florida, and I just drive around Florida and I would like to book a trip go across the States this summer. But and another dream of mine would be that the right here too, when the weather's gonna be nice. There's some plenty of nice things to see around here, so we'll see what I can do.
Cool. So what's it doing then? You're saying it's still in Florida. Has anybody got it just now? Have you got it in storage until you return next year?
Yeah. My bike's actually at Malcolm's garage right now. Our garage is full. I didn't have any place, so Malcolm offered some room in his garage. He's just there waiting for me.
Oh, good stuff. There you go. Something to look forward to when you get home.
Exactly.
And of course, we're heading into December. It's Christmas time coming up soon. I know your family are here with you. How much does that make it all the better, the fact you can spend the festive period with your family, albeit in a foreign country?
Oh, for us, me and my wife have been talking about it. All the UK and Scotland, all these places are doing Christmas the best way, I think, in the world. So We loved being here. We went to Edinburgh Market, you know, all those things. It's just fun, just the vibe of Christmas in Scotland. It's beautiful.
And of course, every family's got their own traditions, but I take it you've got to adjust it a little bit to make up for the fact that you are far from home from your extended family as well.
Yeah, well, it's part of the job, right? But no, it's not easy. We're hoping some my parents or captain's parents are coming over around Christmas, but with all the COVID things, it's not easy this year. But it's a short season, so I think that we'll see them pretty quick.
And I take it Santa will be visiting your young daughter as well?
Yeah.
Good. And just to finish this weekend, of course, just the two games, Dundee Stars away on Saturday and then at home to Guildford on Sunday. Two big games, two big challenges, but this week you've rested a fair bit this week. You'll be glad to get back.
Yeah, no, that's good that we had a full week of practice. And, you know, Dundee's been winning some big games right now, so it's not going to be easy to go there. But we need to turn we need to go back on the winning streak here. It's all going to start on Sunday, on Saturday, on against Dundee for sure.
And as I mentioned,
And Sunday we already lost a game against Guildford, so I think we know we owe them one, and we need to win some game at home. So, like I said, it's a big weekend for us.
And Guildford are a team that the Clan never seem to do well against. If you look back at the record since Guildford joined the league in 2017, it's not a good one. Sunday's the perfect time to turn that around, isn't it?
Yeah, it is the time to turn, because I think Glasgow only have one win in Guildford.
That's
since
right.
I think we owe them a couple of wins for sure.
Hey Purple Army, this is Kevin McCoskrey. Don't forget to subscribe to the Clan Chat podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify or Audioboom to hear from your favourite team.
Clan's top scorer, Mathieu Roy, who chatted to me earlier this week. Before we round things up, let's reveal the answer to the Clan conundrum I set back at the start of the show when I asked, during the 2019-20 season, Jordan McLaughlin played in 10 games for the Clan, but which team did he come up against the most? Well, the answer was Belfast Giants. He played against them 4 times. Well done if you got that one right. Big 2 points to you. If you didn't get it right, never mind. There's always next time. I'll have another one for you next week. Anyway, that's about it. Tickets are on sale for this Sunday's game with Guildford Flames at 4 p.m. via the website clanihc.com. Saturday's game against Dundee Stars is also available for streaming, so get that information as well as ticket info if you're planning to go via the Dundee Stars website. All the latest news and information around the club, including Creation IP sponsored Shut Off the Back, where you can win a Shane Starrett Together We Clan jersey this Saturday. Check that out on clanihc.com, as well as important COVID measures for Brayhead Arena. Always important to keep yourself up to date with those. We're back next week and there'll be plenty to look back on, so don't miss a thing, either through the website or on social media. You'll find us on our Facebook page, or alternatively, follow us on Twitter, Instagram or TikTok at ClanIHC. My thanks go to Dave Sweeten, Stephen Swan, Mathieu Roy, and a big shout out to the guys at Coventry Blaze TV for use of the audio from Saturday's game. I'll be back next week for more from your favourite team, so make sure you subscribe through your podcast provider and don't miss an episode. Until then, have a great weekend and I'll talk to you soon. Bye for now.